What's going on, y'all? And good morning on this day, Tuesday, October 22nd. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on. It's your man, James Jackson. You've been rocking with me, doing these daily pods for 3.5 weeks now we're going on. And we only have to wait one more day before we get real Sixers basketball to break down. So appreciate you guys holding it down with me until this point and moving forward. Your hard work is about to pay off, fans, because we're about to get Sixers basketball. Make sure to follow me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23, at Clap Your Hands Pod on Twitter as well, because you know what to expect. Analysis and tweets before, during, and after games. Breakdowns from me, Elliot, and Jack, because we're going to hit the ground running with this Sixers season. Like I said, we are almost there. So you know how I do and how the agenda and rundown is for these daily pods. I'll go over the schedule of what's to come. We'll go over injuries, general news, and then I take a break. On the other side of that break, I get into some analysis and to some breakdown. The schedule is what we've been harping on for the past, I don't know, week, ever since we really finished the preseason, and we were winding down the preseason, the start of the regular season. Tomorrow night, Wednesday, the 23rd, at 7 p.m. in the Wells Fargo Center, we start the season. So I hope the reminders are set, the calendars are set. You already have dinner pre-scheduled and ready to go. You told the kids that you couldn't take them to soccer practice or football practice or basketball practice. Whatever you got to do, make sure that you are dialed in for the start of Sixers season, because we all will be. Tomorrow night, they open up the season against the Milwaukee Bucks at home. We cannot wait. We'll jump over injury news because there's no new injuries that we have to kind of be aware of or kind of monitor. But we do go to regular news. A little bit of a slower news day as of recent. We know the Sixers have kind of dominated the news in the basketball world as of recently when it pertains to their stars in particular. But we have practice news and notes today, and practice was important because of those two star players, and we continue to monitor how they feel, how they recover from their lingering injuries. And the theme of what I feel has been Sixers basketball over the past 3 days: will they play on opening night? Right? That's just been the big question. That's all what we've been asking. Will, insert name here, play on opening night against the Milwaukee Bucks? So let's go through those players that we are monitoring. First, we go through Embiid. And it came out today, reported that Embiid, again, was a full participant in practice up until the team scrimmages. So he did everything except go up and down the floor 5-on-5 with his teammates, but participated in every drill up until then, and then did some individualized work when those scrimmages were taking place. So he participated in 3-on-3 drills when they were scrimmaging, but just not the full 5-on-5 and nothing full court still. So I think this is something that we're going to have to get used to with Embiid in practice. Nick Nurse said Embiid being a less than a full participant in practice will most likely be the new normal. And I believe even went on further to say that him not being a participant in the scrimmages, him not scrimmaging, is a part of that playoff-focused plan that we heard so much about in media day and in training camp and in preseason. This is another staple of that. This actually might be what the plan is built around, is him, you know, not going full participant, not going full extent, 100% in practice, but, you know, conserving energy, being very kind of strategic and where Embiid is being used. So we're going to have to get used to that. I would actually be more shocked that if we go down the line this season and Embiid is seen in a scrimmage or is seen or is known to be scrimmaging, it's reported that he went 5-on-5. I think the game reps are going to come in game. And, you know, which means that we may have to be, like I talked about yesterday, a little bit of patient as to when he does start the season, knowing that this is the first time that he's seeing game action. It's the first time he's seeing 5-on-5 since the Olympics. So let's keep that in mind when we watch Embiid for the start of the season. So that's the Embiid update. Still no, you know, 100% word as to where he falls on opening night. But as of now, that's how things have been going lately. Seems to be kind of the same for Embiid. Like that hasn't changed in however many practices we've seen as of now. I don't expect it to. We go on to Paul George, who was seen jogging after practice yesterday, which was a welcoming sight, right? Him able to, you know, get some kind of, you know, fast forward motion movement on that knee. His status for opening night also still in question. Him and Embiid were also seen running some two-man drills after practice. Again, just more encouraging sights, I know. More pathetic movements from James, us being reduced to 30-second videos of Embiid and PG doing stuff against air to be optimistic. But that's where we are. I will not be ashamed if that's where we're at, because I take anything that we can get at this moment in time from Embiid and Paul George. But Nick Nurse was asked point blank what his optimism is on either of his stars playing on opening night, and also Jared McCain too, who continues to rehab from the pulmonary contusion injury. But Nick Nurse had this answer to say when it pertains to PG and Embiid playing on opening night.
What's your optimism that Joel, Paul, and Jared at this point will be available to play Wednesday night?
What's my optimism? I don't really have a level, because they said tomorrow we should have a good idea on all three of them. I do know that, just, you know, personally talking to them, they all feel pretty good. But until I see them, you know, a little bit more on the court, we'll, you know, I can't really decide that till after tomorrow's practice.
Right. So you heard the head coach. Still no definitive answer on whether we can expect Embiid or PG to play tomorrow night. You guys know how much I love the vague answers, right? But to his credit, I just think there's a whole lot of question marks surrounding whether they're going to be able to go. You heard him say it's going to be incumbent a lot upon how they feel. If they wake up, go through shoot around, go through pregame drills, and decide I'm ready to go, I can go out there and compete, then they may kind of leave it up to them and how they feel and you know, whether they think they can play tomorrow night. So we will see. However, I did see on Twitter today that Tim Bontemps said on the Hoop Collective podcast that Embiid is expected to play. So Tim Bontemps, a really, you know, respected reporter from ESPN, was on the Hoop Collective podcast. That's with Brian Windhorst today. He was at Sixers Media Day. He's been at Sixers practices. He's been boots on the ground. So if you trust Tim's sources, that Embiid is expected to play, then hold your hat on that. So we will see. We also wait for PG's knee reevaluation today. He goes for that reevaluation today. Remember, a week ago, they said he's going to be reevaluated in a week. A week is up. So we now will see if PG's ready to go. Okay, I'm about to take a break. On the other side of the break, I get into some analysis. I saw ESPN drop their power rankings for this season heading into the 2024-2025 season. I took note of where the Sixers landed, and I think you guys should too, so stay tuned. Welcome back, y'all. Appreciate you guys tuning in with me once again on the Clap Your Hands Morning Daily Sixers podcast. Your boy James Jackson. As always, make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23 on Twitter for me, at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast on Twitter. We're good follows. You're going to want to be there. You're not going to want to miss that. I'm just saying, we come with recommendations. All right, time to get into some analysis. ESPN, right on time, drops their 2024-2025 preseason power rankings for the NBA. And I wanted to go over where the Sixers landed. And I also wanted to go over ESPN's reasoning for why they have the Sixers where they are. Because I think it's just interesting to kind of go through why ESPN puts teams where they do and see just if we agree with where their thinking is and, you know, if we would tweak it or not. So to put it blank period, the Sixers ranked fifth in the preseason power rankings this season from ESPN. They came behind, you know, kind of the usual suspects of teams. Number one was the Boston Celtics. Number two was Oklahoma City Thunder. Number three was the New York Knicks. I'll leave that there for whatever, however you guys think of that. Number four was the Denver Nuggets, which I know will make my counterpart, Elliot Shore Parks, very happy to hear that Jokic is one notch above Embiid. The Sixers came in fifth. We have the Minnesota Timberwolves coming in sixth, and then so on and so forth. I won't go through the rest of the list, but, you know, nudge right in there between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves for being in the fifth spot are the Sixers. So top five in the NBA coming into the season is where ESPN has the Sixers, has their chances of making the playoffs right now in 99.6%, so all but guarantees them in the playoffs. I won't spend too much time on that because if the Sixers are fighting for a playoff spot come April, a lot much larger conversations probably will have be had at that point. Their projected win total is at 51.5 for ESPN. That's noteworthy to me. 51.5, you want to give them 51 or 52 wins, doesn't matter. They have that last year, and that firmly plants them in the two seed above the New York Knicks last season to end the regular season one notch below the Boston Celtics. So Sixers hit that win total, and they're going to see themselves amongst the Eastern Conference elites. Not just, you know, in good position, but fighting for that, you know, that two or three seed if they get to that 51 win total. That's a high win total for a team that, you know, is noted to have, you know, some of these question marks coming out of the preseason. Another thing I want to note before I move on is that this article was written on the 21st of October, right? This article was written yesterday. This article doesn't predate preseason, doesn't predate training camp, doesn't predate injuries or notable absences from the Sixers. This is all those things are taken into consideration when making this article, when putting out you know, these rankings. So it's very well noted from these guys that what the Sixers are at, they still have, you know, them ranking this high. Their BPI overall ranking is three. So BPI is a basketball power index for those of you who don't know. So it's just, it's a measurement system. It's a statistic that measures how many points above or below average a team is. It's intended to predict a team's performance for the season. So the Sixers have the third highest basketball power index coming into the NBA. One was the Celtics, two was the Thunder. So ESPN thinks very highly of the Sixers on paper before any games have played. If you remember back to our GM survey, they talked a lot of individually about a lot of Sixers players. And now this culminates to the overall team projection and rankings, not from GMs, right? It's from experts and media panelists from ESPN. But still, the outward perception of the Sixers team is that they're going to be a successful team. The article cited their postseason moves as one of the main reasons for the ranking. Quote, in response to their postseason performance, Philadelphia landed Paul George in free agency, one of the biggest offseason trades via free agency since Kawhi Leonard joined George with the Clippers 5 years earlier. They also re-signed Maxey, extended Embiid, signed Andre Drummond, Eric Gordon, and Caleb Martin, and also brought back Kelly Oubre Jr. and Kyle Lowry. And they also have several first-round picks they can use in deals to improve this season. Let's not get lost on that. Ellie and I talked about this in one of our preseason pods, how they are in position to still make moves this season. If they don't use those picks to make moves, that means a lot of stuff went right. But there is a safety net of draft picks and first round draft picks to throw at teams to try to get some kind of supplemental piece in season if things aren't going according to plan. Let's continue to remember that. I'm glad that was in this article. and cited the Sixers' biggest strength as the star power. When healthy, the trio of Embiid, George, and Maxey is just as good as any team entering this season. And Philadelphia is going to break its decades-long championship drought. It'll be on the backs of those stars delivering in April, May, and June. Not delivering in December, January, and February, April, May, and June. That is the focus for the Sixers to make sure Embiid, PG, and company are healthy and ready to go in those months. Conversely, it cited the biggest weakness as the health record of both Embiid and Paul George. The future of the franchise depends on the chemistry of these two superstars cultivating this season. They just need to be on the court to be able to do so. I love how they're focused on seasons beyond. I love how they can even fathom about future seasons right now because all the focus is on this season. But I do think it's interesting that they noted the Sixers' biggest strength is also its biggest weakness, and that is its availability of its star players. That's just what it boils down to this season at the end of the day. You know, I know we talked about Maxey's importance and how much he's going to carry the team, and I expect him to. I expect a big season out of Maxey. But at the end of the day, the season is just incumbent upon how available and how well do Embiid and PG play. It just is. We can slice it any other way we want to, but that's the matter of the fact. So we will see. We will see. I love the way this article ended, though. The bold prediction that it made said that Andre Drummond will average a double-double. That's their bold prediction. He hasn't achieved this since the 2020-2021 season, but it's a great opportunity to do so again now that he's back in Philly. Andre Drummond averaged 14.1 points per game and 17.9 rebounds per game in his 10 starts last season. He might start twice as many games as that this season. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility he starts 20 games this season, and that's an opportunity to pump those numbers up. So I highlighted this, of course, because it seems like I'm not the only one expecting big things and predicting big things for Andre, huh? Like, this isn't just like a bit to play that Andre Drummond is going to have big numbers and do big things with the Sixers this season. So you've heard the experts at ESPN say it as well. So 51.5 wins, the fifth best team in the NBA is how ESPN ranks them coming into the season. I want to hear from you guys on social media, though, at JimmyJ23, at ClapYourHandsPod on Twitter. Is this ranking too high, too low? Or is it just right for the Sixers? That's all the time I have for today. When we wake up tomorrow, it'll be game day, the season opener, and I will get into the matchup against the Milwaukee Bucks. Until then, I will see you guys in 24 hours.